Hey, have a nice hand for Joe Bolster. Thank you all for coming out tonight. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm getting to the age where my body's starting to fall apart. And now, when things break on me, they just kind of stay that way. Ah, my hip hurts. I guess forever. Ah, bang my knee. I guess I'll get used to that pain. Now when I see old people walking around, I get it. I know what happened to him. He just kept waking up. And nobody seems to care. I told my doctor, my hip hurts. He's like, yeah. Just making small talk, I guess. Well, thanks for coming in today. You're welcome. Thanks for coming in an hour and a half late. I don't get the doctor being a late thing. I don't get it. I don't accept it. I have a 2 o'clock appointment. I want him looking at me at 2 o'clock. We agreed. I called ahead. I know you're a busy man. That's why I called ahead. And it just happened in on the guy. I'm going in there. Tell him to come and look at me. I called a week, 2 weeks ahead of time. I called. The only way I think it would be okay for the doctor to be late is if at 5:02, you're in the waiting room, and you notice from under the door that leads to the back rooms, a pool of blood coming out into the waiting room. Everybody has to lift their feet. I think we might be delayed. Then it would be okay for him to be 5 minutes late. Clamp whatever's bleeding, get me back there. I want to hear a clamp noise, then you saying, I'll get back to you later. I went to a new doctor recently, and you ever have a sign, like right off the bat, where you're like, maybe this isn't the right doctor for me. This is true. He walked in, and all the buttons on his lab coat were off by one. Happening to me. I swear, I looked in the mirror the other day and I noticed a 2-inch hair coming out of the middle of my forehead. What in the world? And I know it was 2 inches because I measured it. Now, I don't know how long it takes for a hair to grow 2 inches, but nobody in my life bothered to tell me about it. The entire growing season. They must have had daily conversations. Has he noticed yet? He has not. How is that possible? I don't know. He must look directly into the mirror, and the hair must be perfectly straight. And he must not move his head a billionth of an inch. He is unaware of his unihair. Trying to get healthy. I don't know. It's my New Year's resolution to lose 20 pounds. We're just barely over 2 months in, and I've already gained 6 pounds. I noticed different levels of putting on weight, you know, and if you're looking for little signals of, hey, maybe now's the time to get a grip on this, here's some things that I've learned. It used to be I would just put on my underwear, and that was it. But then after you put on a few pounds, you put on your underwear, you bend over to put on your socks, and the waistband flaps over. And you stand back up, it slaps back in your face. But then you put on a few more pounds, you bend over to put on your socks, your waistband flaps over, you stand back up, it doesn't flap back up. Then you put on even a few more pounds, you just put on your underwear, and for no reason, your waistband just flaps over. And you can't even see your socks. I was telling my friend, you know, I'm trying to lose a couple pounds. So his wife said, "Brian, you can eat whatever you want and still lose weight. It's just a combination of how you put the foods together. You can eat whatever you want." And these are her examples. Like, you wouldn't want to eat steak and potatoes. You wouldn't want to eat those together. But you could eat plankton and lemon rinds. Do you see what I'm saying? No, you can eat whatever you want. Yes, like, I noticed you like to eat spaghetti and meatballs together. You would never want to do that again. But you could eat alfalfa sprigs and raisin skins. Not the whole raisin, take the skins and steam them. You want to make sure they're steamed. That's what it started sounding like to me. It made me more comfortable to start jarbling our words into a high-pitched shrill. I've been eating a lot of donuts. I like them, I don't care. I like Krispy Kreme donuts. They're so light. I don't know how they make them so light. I put mine on a string and they float above me. These are my donuts. I'm gonna take them to the park. Come on, donuts. You know, if you buy a dozen donuts at Krispy Kreme, this is true, they list every donut individually on the receipt. Chocolate ice donut, chocolate ice donut, chocolate ice. I get it, I eat too many donuts. You got the word dozen somewhere in that cash register? Is there anybody who needs this delineation of information? Which makes me wonder if that receipt would ever end up on a desk between me and an IRS agent. Because you have to actively be pursuing work to deduct the meals. So I'd have to justify them, "Well, sir, on that particular chocolate ice donut, I remember asking my manager, how come we don't work in Poughkeepsie?" "And on that double fudge, deep fried, custard filled, caramel encrusted Spring Fest, I remember saying, we should try to get a Muscle magazine cover." I'm trying to understand health advice, but I don't understand any of it, you know? I heard a nutritionist on TV say you should eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a peasant. And I think I misheard him. Because I eat breakfast like a king, lunch like an 800-pound gorilla, dinner like a 1,000-pound gorilla, and midnight snack like a whale. And I was jotting. I think I inverted something. I was inverting my jots. So I go grocery shopping, and people say, "Brian, you never want to go grocery shopping when you're hungry, because you'll end up buying the food that you want to eat when you're hungry." Clearly I missed a verb or something. You run that by me again? What the hell does that mean? Never design a house you want to live in. You might end up living in that house. It's true. eat in a lot of restaurants, and I have a little request. Whoever owns the rights to the regular Happy Birthday song, can you sign a release, please? So I no longer have to hear these weird restaurant versions. Happy, happy birthday, happy, happy day, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, hey, hey, hey! Plus, you know when you hear it, you're gonna have to hear it again in another 5 minutes. Because some other family's not gonna let that slide. You can hear them huddling up, you know, aww, sleep. What do you say? Should we get them over here? We can't let others have things we don't have. It's Marvin's birthday in a little over 11 months. Let's do it. Okay, excuse me. Yes, can you bring that same collective disinterest over here, please? Thank you. And sing an equally soulless rendition of that restaurant happy birthday song to our two-year-old who's too young to understand anything. So we can watch him look at you with equal parts bewilderment and downright horror. Staff would rather get caught up with their tables as taking their anger out on our child with a mean-spirited version of happy, happy birthday, happy, happy day, happy birthday, happy birthday, hey, hey, hey! Just sign a release and let's get back to the happy one. I don't know nothing. I'm trying to get smarter. I don't feel right at parties because other people are always talking about stuff and I never know what anybody's talking about, ever. And I don't know how to get away from people at a party. Other people are so smooth at that, you know? Some people are like, oh, Charlie. I don't see no Charlie. Ain't no Charlie over here. When I get away from people, it always feels way too abrupt. I am backing away from you now. I am no longer interested in anything any of you have to say. I would rather be by my lone self eating potato chips. I go to this party recently and, you know, trying to mingle. I don't know. Whatever happened to handshakes? People do weird things now. This guy walks up to me, and I don't even know him, and he's just going, hey. And then I realize, oh, he's shadow boxing. He's showing me something important from his world. So I realized, well, I should probably reply in kind. So I did some shadow polo. Cultural exchange. And then I did some shadow curling with the broom cart. But I make friends. That's the world we're in. You gotta think on your feet during greetings, you know? Another guy walked up and just said, Holmes. So I said, elementary, my dear Watson. Hey, people are coming up to me to say hello. Maybe I should go up and say hi to somebody. And I thought, well, obviously handshakes are old school. Nobody's doing that. So what should I do? And I thought, oh, I'll chest bump somebody. Okay, so I was in midair. And I don't think this lady realized. I'm simply coming over to say hello. She moves away from the window. I kind of crash through that. Shards of glass just missing my face. I don't know where to end the joke, so. Get shards of glass involved for some reason. That didn't happen. Okay. Right up to the window, then I lied about the window. Okay. It actually bounced off the wall. Alright, anybody know what I'm trying to say here? Okay, I don't know. I've been so paranoid about my punchline. friendships are important. My next joke is in the party, so I have to get back in it. All right. The next joke's inside, so. It's a tactical mistake. So I'm face down in the dirt outside. There's no jokes out in the dirt. You gotta get back inside. I say, I'm going back in the party, you know? Friendships are crucial. You know, you need friends. And you have to rise to the occasion as a friend. One thing is, like, if you have to listen to your friend's stories. And let's face it, not everybody tells stories as well as other people. But you have to listen to all the stories. I have a friend who likes to play the lottery. And he tells incredible, incredible stories. He likes to tell me about the numbers that he picked. And these are some of the best anecdotes, tales that I've ever heard. It's, I don't know if it's the way he puts them together, just he's a real raconteur. He told me one last week, I hope I can do it justice. I got 4 tickets. The first ticket, I picked a 2, 4, 12, 21, 29. Second ticket, I did 3, 16, 27, 30, 34. Third ticket. I had the three on the second ticket and the third ticket. I had the 3, 16, 26, 27, back to back, 26, 27, back to back. 40. I had 40. Fourth ticket. I knew I had the 2 on the first and the 3 on the second and third ticket. So I got the 5 on the fourth ticket. So I had the 5, 17, 21. 28. My thinking on the 28 was, hey, get the 28. This is a story he thinks he's allowed to tell other human beings. So I'm doing my best to hang in. What happened? None of them hit. That's a surprise twist at the end. I could have sworn that you would have only said all of that if it followed something. If you did a 180, you actually managed to follow all of that with less. I think a lot of people are uncomfortable at parties. They don't know what to do with their hands. So they put a drink in one and a cigarette in the other. And it takes care of those two things sticking out of my torso. Now if I just had something to say. I think if we had more hands, we would fill them with more bad habits. In fact, I met an octopus at a party, and he was a mess. Get a drink and a cigarette, a joint, a bag of potato chips, a TV remote, a lottery ticket, a pouch of chewing tobacco, and a bottle of painkillers. If I'm close, maybe that's a nanopus. I heard a scientist on TV. I think he was a scientist. He said a lot of people think octopuses have 8 arms. They actually have 6 arms and 2 legs. So there you go. Doesn't that clear up a lot of confusion? It never looked right to me. Every time I was looking at one, I'm like, no. Somebody explain those 2 shoes. And when he gets up on them and does this whole business, things. It's hard. What do you do? I've tried everything short of reading. I've tried the books on tape. Hard to feel cool when that's how you got a book into your system. Other people are talking about it. You gotta go, oh, I heard that book.
That book's a good lesson. I've been focused every now and then. You gotta focus once or twice.
I'm trying to learn how to want to read a book. I know how to read a book. I'm trying to learn how to want to read a book. You ever been where everything's perfect? You're in bed and the blanket's up to here. The light's at a perfect angle. You have a new novel. You're like, I still don't want to do this. Ceiling cracks. Books are too, big. I can read a magazine article. That's about it. And even then, I look ahead to see how long it's going to be. Hey, this looks interesting. It's not that interesting. How about this? Half a page. Okay. Honey, get my bookmark! You ever try to cancel a magazine subscription? It's easier to break up with a psycho. They just don't seem to want to get it, you know? They keep sending cards. Are you sure? We can change! It's not you, it's me. I don't read highlights anymore. If you have a fledgling publication and you're looking to get some buzz, publish a top 10 list of anything. People will immediately care about your publication. You could publish a top 10 list of the best bakers from Des Moines, Iowa in the 1950s. Trust me, people will write in, how come Marvin Wilson didn't make it a top 10? He used to make good butter rolls. I got a subscription to National Geographic, which is a great magazine.
Yeah!
Yeah. I get an amen on that. Never struck a nerve at that point in the show. National Geographic? Now we're talking, Chuckles. Right? Should open with this whole chunk. Geographic reader. Right. Anyway, I got a subscription, and it's a great magazine, and they surprised me. In addition to the magazine, they sent me a membership card for the National Geographic Society, so I can put that in my wallet. So it can always be in my wallet. Because I have yet to come across a scenario where that would actually come out of my wallet. When would that happen? I'm sorry, we don't have any tables available this evening. Oh, you don't. Well, somebody doesn't realize he's talking to a member of the National Geographic Society. Kick the senator off of table number one. Just had a big election. I love watching the presidential election. When there's a new candidate, you know, that nobody's ever seen, the first time I ever see them, the first thing they say, I'm already confused every time. They're always behind a podium. I've never seen the person, and they're saying, I'm forming a presidential exploratory committee. What is that? Is that committee going to come back with information they weren't aware of? Okay, here's what we found out. It's a four-year job. Yeah, and you got to be in charge of everything. Well, I don't want to do that. Good thing you sent us out first. I love campaigns at the local level.
Where I live, the candidates just have billboards on the side of the road. Just their name and 2 one-word qualities. Biff Wilson, leadership, integrity. Say no more, Biff. That's what I'm looking for right there. He nailed it, man. 2 favorite qualities in a candidate. Did you read that? Leadership and integrity. I am in. But if you're, you know, if you're really paying attention, you want to read all the billboards. You know, you'll pass another one. Steve Jacobs, laziness, embezzlement. No. You know, when you step back and really weigh everything between the candidates, when you really look at it, when you really weigh it. The negative campaign ads, I don't know if you can stop them, maybe not, but here's an actual negative campaign ad at a local level about the other candidate. This is true. It's a sinister voiceover, and the guy said, he voted to allow 7-year-olds to be tasered. In the interview, the guy who had voted for that, he's like, I meant worst case scenario, child gets a weapon, you don't want to hurt him, maybe you taser him to get the weapon away. As if that was that man's platform. I want to taser 7-year-olds. He's talking to his staff. If I'm elected, can we have some 7-year-olds on the stage with me? I'll swear, I don't taser a 7-year-old. I'll say, I said, I don't taser another one. How many can we bust in for the inauguration? A lot of controversy about guns, and I know there's different opinions, so you don't need to shout out loudly. Okay. I did these jokes last week in Texas. I'm glad to be alive. No, I know there's different opinions, and I get that, and I respect that. And I'm trying to understand both sides. And I don't understand the difference between an assault weapon and a non-assault weapon. And when anybody explains it on TV, I'm more confused after the explanation than before. Every time. It's always said in a condescending way. You got these liberals who think that a single pull, 100 clip, 42 cold action, bolt level, single action is the same as a 33 magazine, single cold, double pull action. That's like saying a 43, 22 mag with 100 clip is the same as a 47 single lever bolt action Colt. Okay, well, thanks for clarifying that. Appreciate the explanation. I don't know nothing. Whatever I learn, I forget anyway, so what's the point of learning anything? I have a paranoid fear, and I'll share it with you. I don't read a lot because my fear is, what if I read every book in the entire world except for one, and then that book I didn't read had information that contradicted all the other books? That's why I don't read any books. I don't waste my time. My memory's going anyway, you know? I'm not making this up. Every once in a while, the microwave will ding, and I'll have no idea what the hell's in there. What kind of short-term memory problem is that? Ding! Ta-ching! Ah! Macaroni and cheese! And I like that! I like checking the mystery box. Food sometimes. I like the way people refer to food. It's very bizarre. Chicken leg, turkey leg, frog leg, except lamb leg gets put in the front. What is tonight's special? Tonight's special is leg of lamb! No, not just any lamb. is the catch of the day? The catch of the day is cow. You'd think they'd be easy to catch, but this one knew something was up. He had these little juke moves. It was almost as if he didn't want to be slaughtered. I like when you order in a fancy restaurant, no matter what you order, they compliment your order. What will you be having tonight, sir? I'm going to have a hamburger. Excellent choice. Well, thank you. I'll tell you how I came up with it. I noticed it, a picture of it on this placard with a number one next to it. I read about it and kind of mulled it over. Decided to say it out loud. Well, anyway, I'm always trying to learn things. I'm always trying to keep my eyes open for historical markers. Sometimes airports have exhibits where you can learn things. I was at an airport recently and I saw an exhibit for what I assumed was for the Shoshone Native American tribe. So I walked up there and I was like, I want to learn about Native Americans. And the guy said, here at the shoeshine stand? Here's a joke I don't have a place for. Did you know if you were to second guess your decision to book time to visit a Native American community, that would be a reservation. From airports, it just says, no jokes. I need these. No jokes. That's pretty broad and all-encompassing. What in the hell does that sign mean? No jokes! How far from the sign do you have to be before an infraction kicks in? Is there a radius involved? What if you're down the concourse and you do a pun? Hey, you! No jokes! You're in a cab on the way to the airport, you make a silly face, knock it off! You're flying today and there's no jokes! No jokes! But I know why the sign is there. Because of my fellow human beings are stupid. I'm sure they've tried not to have a sign. I'm sure they tried. And people walk by, I got a bomb in a bag. No, I don't. Meeting. You know how we didn't think people could possibly be that stupid? Start making the signs. So I know why it's there. No jokes. But they don't have any signs that say anything about maniacal laughter. So I like to go through with my gray bench. I fly a lot. I like to get to the airport early because I like to take advantage of the music. They always play incredible music. They always have unbelievable sound systems. Every once in a while there's an announcement, but other than that, you really get to get into a song. You know? I'm sitting at the gate the other day. Yesterday. Oh, would the gentleman who left a briefcase at the security area of Concourse C please return to claim your briefcase? And it seems like all unattended vehicles will be towed away at the owner's expense. Oh, but there's been a gate change from flight 207. It'll now be departing out of gate 19. Yesterday. Oh, I love that song. Takes my mind off traveling. I heard an announcement recently. You try to say that. I had too many ends in there. I heard an announcement. Okay. I should have not commented on it. I should have just kept going. Okay. Getting paranoid. I don't want anybody going, does he know he had three M's? And only two were necessary. Does he know that we spotted an error? Okay. Anyway, I heard... I'm going to enunciate this clearly. I heard an announcement. This joke's dead in the water, trust me. Hang on. I was at an airport recently, and I heard an announcement. That's the whole joke, that's it. I just wanted to say that I heard one. Now, the announcement was weird, but that's not what was weird. What was weird is that nobody around me thought the announcement was weird. Is it the actual announcement? Would the gentleman who left his walker at the security area please return to claim your walker? Thank you. And I'm looking around, and nobody around me is even looking up.
He's oblivious to all stimuli.
I look out in the concourse, I see this guy crawling. I had forgotten something. Couldn't put my finger on it. I thought it was my earbuds. So, anyway, we gotta get this economy back on track, man. I don't know what happened. Not that you're looking to me for answers. What happened? No. Too complicated for me. The mortgage thing? I don't know. But I have a friend who offered to explain the mortgage meltdown for me, condescendingly. Do you have friends like that? Brian, you want me to explain the mortgage meltdown for you?
Would you? Would you explain it at me?
Be happy to. Here, sit in your booster seat. Okay, you have a mortgage, right? Right. You pay your mortgage to the bank, right? Right. They bundle those with other risky securities and sell those to speculators, right? Do I still get my lollipop? I feel like someone's explaining a magic trick to me. I put your quarter in my hand, right? Right. And I close it, right? Right. And it's gone. Do you understand that? So I had something and now I have nothing? Exactly. What little I know about money, the more it moves around, the better for everybody. That's why I don't understand. Is there a cash register left where you can just kind of buy something and leave without dealing with this whole thing? Do you have a rewards card? No. I have cash. Can I give you some cash? I hear birds chirping out there. I would love to be part of. I hear happiness outside of the store. And I would love if I could go be part of that. I'm not allowed to let you out there. First, I have to tell you about a rewards card program. It's good to get a rewards card, because if you do, you get 10% off your initial purchase and 5% off each subsequent, all your future purchases. It's easy to get one. I just pull a clipboard out from under the counter while people wait in line behind us. And I get so much information from you, your mind will literally boggle. You get your home address, work information, home telephone number, work telephone number, and a cellular telephone number, primary email address, and a secondary email address. And while this conversation's happening here, it's happening at every cash register throughout the nation, which means nothing's getting rung up, no goods are moving, nothing's coming off the shelves, no trucks are rolling, nobody's being hired. We're all degenerating into a glut of molasses while everybody tries to save a nickel. Let's pay full price and get this country back on track. It's a marketing thing, and I guess it works. There's a lot of marketing things that work, and I have no clue why. The free DVD, what the hell? Are there people who still respond to this? And if you act now, it comes with a free DVD. Is there anybody who wants to watch any of these things? Ever been over to somebody's house? Do you want to watch a DVD? Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good, man. What do you got? I got reverse mortgages. You got any other DVDs? I got How to Grow Tomatoes Upside Down. Again, not jumping up and down. Do you have any mysteries? Anything with a surprise ending? I got the retractable awning. This one, it starts, they're all out in the sweltering sun, and I don't want to give it away. There's a lot of marketing things that are out there that confuse me, but some are brilliant. 7-Eleven, they put a sign in their front window that says, "Yes, we have maps." And it's uncanny how often they are right on the money. Because there's many times, well, I'll be driving with my passenger, and I'll be coming up upon a 7-Eleven, and I'll be like, you know, I've always wondered, 7-Eleven, now, I know they have bread. And I know they have milk. But what I've always wondered, and I don't even know if you'd know, yes! Yes, they do! They do! It's absolutely genius that they've learned to hire somebody to read people's lips. No, we don't have lima beans! Good, man. I was just in Orlando at Disney World with my kids. I love Disney World. But twice while we were in line, the family behind us just kind of snuck in front of us in line. The first time, I didn't even know what to do. You know, it was like so confusing. I'm like, okay, clearly I don't have all the information here. They were there, and now they're there. What the hell is happening? And I didn't say anything, and that made me mad.
But the very next ride, I had an opportunity. Same thing, different family. First, it was the little kids behind us. And I don't blame little kids. They're little kids. They do what they do. They just got in front of us. But then you think it would be their mommy's job to go, no, we're behind this family and have been for a half hour. That's what I think should have been said. That mommy was like, okay, I guess we're up here now. And then the dad just kind of, all right, good job, everybody. He said, excuse me, we're behind this guy. We've been behind him for a half hour. Kind of hard not to know, same weird hair and birthmark. Kind of hard not to know our spot. And the guy goes, oh, okay, go ahead, if it's that big a deal to you. Yeah, it's that big a deal to me. I want my family flying around in elephants before your family. As absurd as that might sound to you, it's important to me. And I wish I had handled it differently. I wish right when he would have stepped in front that I would have just reached into the pockets of his cargo shorts and pulled out his belongings and just hurled them. Just as far as I could humanly hurl. And then just grabbed her purse and just whipped the entire contents into a distant flower bed. And then when they looked at me weird, I'd go, oh, I thought you wanted complete anarchy. I misunderstood. When you just clearly stepped right in front of us, I thought that was a signal that all semblance of right and wrong was out the window. I have overreaction fantasies. That's how I cope. I always hear the expression, the punishment should fit the crime. I don't agree. I think the punishment should eliminate the crime. I believe in harsh penalties. One person should see the penalty and go, never, I'm never doing that. I'm never doing that. You don't want people weighing it. Oh, well, maybe. Even little things. I'm sure you've been on a highway and you get over to the passing lane, you're trying to pass somebody, and you get upon somebody who's driving 45 miles an hour in the passing lane. And you're just like, okay. And he's doing the tandem moron dance with this guy driving 44 and 9/10 of a mile an hour. And you're trying to find happiness in your soul. An eternity for enough of a gap to open up. You gotta shoot over on the right and pass the guy over there. And you wanna get your glare in. The I'm right and you're wrong glare. But then you realize you're passing somebody who's going 45 in the left-hand lane, so he's oblivious to begin with. There's no satisfaction in the glare. That needs to be fixed. I have a solution. I think a cop should follow somebody who's in the left-hand lane and just follow the guy for a while and wait until like seven different cars pass him on the right, then pull him over. Hey, how you doing there? All right, I was following you for a while and I noticed seven different cars got up on you and each and every one had to scoot over and pass you on the right, so that's $1,000 a car. There's a ticket for $7,000. Of course, he's gonna go, I didn't know I was doing anything wrong. Yeah, but now you'll never forget. You see those zeros? Those are reminder ticklers. Memory trick we came up with as a society to you'll never forget. And just like a moron, or just like a rat brings the poison back into the wall to kill the other rats, this guy brings that ticket back to his idiot friends. Looky here. Do you know how we's just
always do's. Whatever's we feels like. Without ever even beginning to thinking how that might affect others. Well, apparently, they're starting to crack down.
$7,000 tickets. Probably be gone in 6 months. Okay. I'm not charging the rules. Sorry. That's very reluctant on your part. Calm down, clown. Okay. I like doing this. But anybody knows me knows my true love is dance. The show's over. I'm headed right over to the St. Louis discotheque. And I'll dance so they kick me out. That's how I'm wired. Now, I don't understand dancing. I don't know who thought of it or why. What two people are standing across from each other? So should we just stand here like this, or, or should we stand here like this? What was the first option? The previous. I don't know how to start dancing. How do you? When you're at a place and everybody's on the dance floor dancing and everybody else is way over here not dancing, how do you get from here to there? Are there percentages involved? When you decide to dance, do you dance like 10% at your table? You feel the heat of the lights from the dance floor, you crank it up to 60. And you get in the mix and you full throttle it. Seems kind of ridiculous. But you have to do something like that. You can't just not dance at all until you're right in the middle of the dance floor. I'm very anal and I refuse to dance until I am at ground zero. Here we are! I know it's part of our world. So, you know, I've learned a few things. And I can do a few things on the dance floor, but there's one thing I haven't figured out quite how to do, and that is have fun. I hate every second. So I don't know what to do. I'm not good at it. My body doesn't know what to do. My brain doesn't know what kind of signals to send. All synapses are misfiring. Frankenstein beat me once in a dance contest. So the only way I can get through it is I have to give myself assignments from the back of my head. I'm out there, hey, move around a little bit. What are you going for a walk? Head back where you were. Now, do something with your arms. You look like you're floating. Put them down. People say you should move your hips. Move your hips a little bit. Stop that immediately. Remember that moment. Don't ever do that again. And then when I do something on the dance floor, I instantly regret it. And that's also happening in my head while I'm dancing. I'm out there, bad decision, really bad decision. What is that? Is that supposed to impress people? How did you turn around? You were like on the dark side of the moon.